Got another question for you. Are you ready? Okay. Here it comes. How many of you listening to this message have enemies? Oh, I don't hear any roaring out there. But you know what? We all have enemies. Doesn't matter how good or bad or in between we are. We all have enemies. But do you know who has the most enemies? Not you, not me, not your brother, your sister, your mother, your father. No. The one who has the most enemies is God. Is God. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll get into the word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving me this another opportunity to bring forth these words, Lord, that you've laid on my heart. I pray, Lord, that they'll lodge in needy hearts, and when all is said and done, that they'll be glad they listened, Lord. And if there's anything, Lord, that they have trouble understanding, that they'll call on you in prayer, Lord, and you will show them in your word exactly where to find the answers that they seek. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, sir, we all have enemies. I mean, enemies we know about. Not counting the ones we don't know about, but the ones we know about. Now, no matter if they know you or know you not. How many of you out there do not have enemies? How many of you are professing Christians? Ooh, questions, eh? That's what I thought. You think that because you love everybody as good Christians should, that nobody is your enemy? Well, I hate to inform you of this, but it would seem at this time in this world that Christians are becoming the enemy of more and more people because the world is turned over to the evil one. You understand that? Well, I pray you will. Please listen carefully to what's said here in this message today. You know, everybody in this world, unfortunately, is not a Christian. That's sad. That's sad to even think that, you know. If we were all Christians, we'd all be in glory. Right? Because there'd be no need for this world anymore. And I can hardly wait. If you're a Christian, I pray it's the same attitude with you. Can hardly wait until Jesus comes in the rapture and calls us home. Wow. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. So, back to the original question. Do you have enemies? Did Jesus have enemies? He must have. Would a friend of Christ beat him up? Would he kick him? Spit on him? Nail him to a tree? Huh? Do we really have to think about that? Ooh, yes. The fact is, we all have enemies. Now that might break your heart. You might think that nobody hates you, but there are people who hate you. Yes, there are. Because there are people out there who are just so filled with hate, they don't know what love is. And that's unfortunate. So, let's continue on. What is an enemy? Now, you might say, well, that's a foolish question. I know what an enemy is. Okay, so you know. But there may be somebody listening that's not quite sure, according to the Word of God, okay? Well, what is an enemy? An enemy can be anyone. Even your dog can be your enemy. But enemies are usually quite obvious and easy to recognize. They stand out in the crowd, so to speak. How about your brothers and sisters? Did not one of your own family ever look you in the eye and vehemently exclaim, I hate your guts? It's kind of rash or brash, isn't it? The reason I said that so dramatically is because it happened to me. Oh, a long time ago, a member of my own family got up real close to me and roared at the top of his drunken lungs, I hate your guts. Wow. Man, that cut like a knife. He really didn't mean it. He didn't. He just sounded like he meant it. Oh, why did he hate my guts? Why would he say that? Because I told him he couldn't go out with a drunken hippie on a motorbike? That's a poor reason to hate your dad. You know, children are so precious to their parents, especially in their homes. They are so precious. There's an old saying, a song, you always hurt the one you love, the one you shouldn't hurt at all. You've heard that song? Huh? Is that oldie? That's a good one. You always do hurt the one you love too, don't you? You know, in a marriage you hurt your wife, your wife hurts you. In a family relationship, sometime or other you're going to hurt a member of your family, your mom, your dad, your sister, your brother. It's just natural, because that's what's in us. There is pain. There is hurt. There is hate, unfortunately. But you see, when we get home to glory, that hate is going to be eradicated, taken completely away. We'll not have to worry about it anymore. Hate is a terrible word. No Christian should ever hate anyone. In fact, no one should hate anybody else, not even your enemies. Lead them to Christ. Ooh, not always easy, right? But still, pray for them. You can still always pray for them. Children are so precious in their homes. Thank God when they get older, they usually turn that hate around and tell you they love you instead. Oh, I've had it happen to me. You know, Dad, I know I told you a long time ago that I hated you. But I didn't mean it. I love you, Dad. I love you. Oh, it just melts me. Don't you love to hear that? Oh, it's turned around. They love you. They even give you a big hug. It's not easy raising a family, as I'm sure many of you know, especially when God is not in it. Now, any of you that are not Christians and may be listening to this message, you might not grasp that too readily, but listen to it anyway, please, and see what you think. You can always write to me and tell me. Put it on my Facebook, you know, Battle Site for Christ, tillycomes.net. Be glad to hear from you, whether it be good or bad or indifferent. You know, if God's not in it, and if God doesn't have the preeminence in your home, then tell me, who does? Who does have the preeminence? Right from day one, God made Adam to be head advisor of the family home. Did you know that? Now, said the ladies, now why would God do a thing like that? I don't know. Why don't you ask him? While you do, I'll say a quick prayer, okay? Go ahead. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for these words you placed on my heart. I pray, Lord, that something here will be said today that will be an encouragement to others, whether they be saved or unsaved, Lord. Because the words that are before me, Lord, that are in my heart, they're words, Lord, that you put there. And I want to thank you. Be glorified now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah. allow me to say at the very outset, okay? Allow me to say at the very outset, this is not another who's the boss in the family type of sermon. No. I call my sermon, do you want to hear it? I sure. God's got your back. God's got your back. Isn't that a nice name? Oh, and it's so true too. God's got your back. So what's the biggest problem with the godless, with the ungodly? Besides that, they hate your guts. What's the biggest problem? Is there anything worse than that? Well, they hate us. They do us wrong. They're mean to us. But what is the worst thing about enemies? Do you know? I just read somebody's mind. They deceive you. That's right. They deceive you. And when you're deceived by someone you thought was your friend, something else happens. Do you know what that is? You become confused. You become confused. Now, who's the master of confusion? You got it. That old devil. You see, it's not your mom. It's not your dad or your little brother, but the devil. You see, God's not the author of confusion. And didn't the devil confuse Eve in the garden when he said, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden"? Genesis 3, verse 1. "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden"? He tried to fool, deceive Eve when he said that. He even carries it a step further in verse 4. When he says, "Ye shall not surely die." You see? Like I said, God's got your back if you believe. Who's the biggest liar that ever lived? I'll give you a hint. He still lives today. No, he's not your brother. He's not your sister. That old devil. The devil is the prince of liars and the king of confusion. Oh yes, I know he's a prince of darkness too. But that's the devil's ways. He hates us. He hates us even more when we love Jesus. Sometimes when giving out the gospel to someone, people can stop you dead in your tracks. I mean, throw you a real curve. Yeah. This may sound foolish, but here goes anyway. You probably heard it. I was witnessing to a guy some time back, telling him how great our God and our Savior is, when suddenly out of nowhere he says, "Can God do everything? Can God do everything?" I was a bit stunned, I was. I said, yes, God can do everything and anything, except deny himself. Then he said, "Can God build a rock so big he can't lift it?" Oh, I heard this when I was a kid, but it's still around today. Can God build a rock so big he can't lift it? I want to tell you, it's times like this, the old flesh just wants to boil. "Yes, he can," I blurted out. And he responded by saying, "Impossible." Oh. So I went along with them, well, at least partially. First of all, I want to tell you this. Nothing is impossible with God. And secondly, why would God make a rock so big that he can't lift it? So the guy says, "Got another question for you. Nothing stupid. I was just wondering." I braced myself. "If God made everything, the heavens and the earth and all that we see, and it was for men to enjoy, then why did he make the devil to mess it all up? Just doesn't make any sense. I mean, God is all good, right? Like you said, He got our backs, right? God is holy. The scriptures tell us, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Don't underestimate the power of Almighty God. Then he says, then why can't we see Him? Or why can't we see God? We see both God and Satan. You get this now? We see both God and Satan through the things that people do. If it's good, we see God. If it's evil, we see Satan. Have you got that? The beauty of this world, the love we share with each other, and most of all, we see God through the cross upon which His Son, Jesus Christ, was crucified and shed His blood to save us from our sins. So that one day, we could be in heaven with Him. It's hard to see someone who ain't there, he said. It's hard to see someone who ain't there. I understand that. It can be difficult. That's why we must live by faith. Have you got that? By faith, believing that God is real and that Jesus died for our sins. We have to live by faith. That's what God wants to hear. And that's where we attain the sin-cleansing blood of Jesus Christ to cover us from our sins. And we are assured of heaven's glory when we leave this earth. It's hard to see someone who ain't there, though, he says. Well, that's why we need faith. We need faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. The Bible tells us in Hebrews that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Have you got that? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Then he said, but how does faith work today? The same way it always has, by faith. Believing in something you cannot see or even hear. That's why how faith works. Now, if we turn in Philippians 4, verse 8, I believe you'll be encouraged by these words. Philippians 4, verse 8. Listen carefully. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. And we can't stop there. Look at verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Wow. That's amazing. I don't know about you, but what's encouraging? What? These are really encouraging instructions. I don't know how one could fail to be encouraged by that. Well, especially he says here at the end, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Wow. Isn't that what we want? Peace? God is peace. And finally, why would a loving God allow such evil? Now, this is what he's saying, eh? Why would a loving God allow such evil to permeate our minds and souls? Could he not have cast the old devil elsewhere instead of here on the earth? Why the garden? Why our homes? The beginning of time as we know it, the first woman beguiled by the devil, but nonetheless given a choice. You know, this guy learning fast. He seems to be hitting it right on the button. It's all a matter of good versus evil. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. Just as God loves us, He wants us to love Him in return. All we have to do is look at Calvary. Look at Calvary. Now, don't get smart and say, well, I can't see it. It's a long time. Look towards Calvary. Okay? Look toward Jesus, and you're looking toward Calvary. Yes, Christ did. He did suffer and die for us, for the sins of the whole world, in our stead, for our iniquities, past, present, and future. But what Jesus did can never, never be undone. Never. Once for all. Never to be repeated. When Jesus returns in the rapture of the church, then we who belong to Him will hear the voice of the archangel calling us to come up hither, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The Word says, let God be true and every man a liar. God is not your enemy. He's your Savior. In this confused world we live in, some of us may or may not notice how things are changing so rapidly. The world has never been in such a chaotic state as it is today. So tell me, have you been to the cross? Have you repented and believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ? If you have, then rest assured, God's got your back. Oh yes, God's got your back. Technology tells us to go with the proverbial flow. Don't go against the grain. God says to be still and know that He is God. Who do you choose? As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. How is it with you? How is it with you? Do you sometimes think that it's just too difficult being a Christian? While it's so very easy to be a sinner, a non-believer. Well, take heart, friends. We have an advocate in high places who has promised us a peace we've never known. And you know what else? A rent-free mansion in glory. How do you like that? Woo. Do you live in a mansion now? Even if you do, it cannot be compared to the one that's waiting in heaven. The heavenly mansion. Oh, I want to thank you for listening to this message today. I pray you've gotten a blessing from it. And if you wish to question me in any area, feel free to do so through my website, Battle Site for Christ. I'll be glad to hear from you. In the meantime, I pray that what God wants for you, you will take it. And what Jesus did for you, you will understand it. And that you would believe in it. God loves you. And so do I. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.